Tigers Renewed, AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. At Drive Time. Beautiful Minneapolis and St. Paul. Glad to have you all aboard today. Coming to you again from the Golden State of California. And tomorrow, mark your calendars. It's going to be a road trip version of the radio show. We're going to be driving across country in an RV and giving you some updates from the trip. I'm starting a process of traveling the country that'll really kick off in October, and I'm trying to encourage people to get out and flip Congress. We're going to 31 of the most influential and flippable congressional districts in the country, and Minneapolis, St. Paul, Bloomington, Richfield, Eagan, Lakeville area, Excelsior, all part of it, because we're coming on October 10th. Anyway, I will be driving out to Minnesota and giving you the radio show from the road come tomorrow. And Hunter, I don't know if you felt that sort of creepy feeling again this morning, sort of sneaking in, you know, that sense of dread flowing across the land. But Mike Pence was in town again.
Oh, that's what it was.
So if you had a sense there was, you know, a shift in the matrix. Vice President Pence had to come in to do the bidding of the administration into our great state, where he was speaking before a group of veterans, and at the National Legion of Veterans. And he's got a tough argument to make. When Hunter, I don't know if you can imagine how hard it must be. First of all, to have to be the vice president for Donald Trump is just a disaster. Mm-hmm. And Mike Pence himself, I think, is, you know, tough to hold the positions Mike Pence holds and still stay a soft-hearted person in the world. But Mike Pence had to stand in front of a bunch of veterans and say to them, "This administration will always support you. This administration is on your side. We think that you, as veterans, mean the world to this country." Meanwhile, the current president of the United States, who, due to a wicked case of bone spurs, did not serve his tour of duty, nor did I will say, but not because of bone spurs, but because I wasn't drafted and chose not to enroll in the Army or to enlist. But this is a president that Vice President Pence had to stand in front of people in Minnesota, and say to veterans in Minnesota, "We're always with you." But, you know, John McCain, one of the country's most famous war veterans, somebody who people call a war hero, not really the language I use for people, but a war hero by some people's estimation, and a fellow Republican. The president won't honor him, didn't want to put the flag at half staff for him, and said, "I don't respect guys who get caught in war. I respect those who didn't get caught." So here Mike Pence has to stand in front of good-hearted Minnesotans and try to say, "Hey, we're on your side." Hunter, that is a tough assignment to be sent out to have to go stand in front of veterans on the week in which John McCain had died and the president basically turned his back on him. And if any of those fine gentlemen and women that were in that crowd think that this administration is any more supportive of them than he is of Donald Trump, I think they've got another thing coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a tough sell, and here in Minnesota especially.
Yeah, come on. I mean, it's just really something. I mean, Pence went so far as to say to these fine men and women today, "I can assure you," is a quote, "I can assure you America will always remember and honor the lifetime of service of United States Senator John McCain. And by honoring him, we also honor all of you." With a straight face and that scowly look that the vice president gets, he stands in front of them and says, "Oh, I can assure you that we will always honor." Always? Well, at what point do people have to say, especially Republican veterans, say, "No, I don't think this administration has always been honoring to John McCain and thereby not also honoring to us"? This is the thing about the Trump administration. I think as people consider their engagement over this Labor Day weekend, which, you know, is such an important day in our political life, because not only it's kickoff of the fall campaign season, but it's also the day when we think about those who built the country via their labor. But when you're in these conversations with people over the course of this weekend, I think it's worth saying, "Hey, isn't it isn't it about time that we have an administration that you don't have to apologize for all the time, that you have an administration that's not embroiled in corruption constantly, that you have an administration in which you don't have to go overboard to explain to veterans that because you're dishonoring to one, you're not dishonoring to all. Like, wouldn't it be a good time to be rid of the people who brought us this administration? And so I think that's the question facing all of us. And I think it's time to start sharpening the rhetoric and engaging in conversations with loved ones and family and to say, don't you want something better? I think the big argument for why people should vote for Democrats this fall is it's time for something better. We all know it. We all know what's good in this world. And this is no good at all. I think that's our big pitch. I think when people are out there at the fair and they're wanting to engage in other political conversations that often come up in this season, I think that's the argument for Democrats to make to their Republicans or their fellow citizens who are choosing to sit it out again because they're not happy with the choice of candidates that are available to them.
Yeah, and it reminds me of during the 2016 campaign when Obama was campaigning for Hillary and he had that person come out, I think it was in South Carolina, who was wearing a military uniform and he was yelling things at Obama like he was a right-winger and people started booing and Obama's like, don't boo, vote. And then he said something along the lines of, when they go low, we go high. So he was condemning people getting angry at the person of dissent at the rally and said nice things about the person, too. He goes, it looks like he's wearing a uniform. He may have served.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that was a perfect example of the contrast of the two parties.
Yeah,
right,
that's
now.
Right. That's right. I think that's the thing we're saying. You know, what kind of double wraps this into Minnesota and John McCain is that McCain's big moment that everybody looks back on from 2008 when he had to say to the woman at the local event that he was doing in Lakeville, Minnesota. You might remember it's often referred to as McCain's Lakeville moment when that elderly woman got up and said to him, I got to ask you a question. This is her quote. I can't trust Obama. I've read about him and he's an Arab. And, and remember, and Trump and McCain interrupts her and says, no, he's a decent family man, citizen. And I just have disagreements with him on fundamental issues. Mm-hmm. That's what this campaign is all about. There was this moment in which you could say, look, these are fine people. And I mean, I am brutal, I think, on the show on Donald Trump and even more so in my personal life and on Mike Pence. But it's not because I don't think they're fine people. I think they are fine. They very well could be fine people. I'm saying the way they behave and what they're doing is so damaging. They should take their fine personhood and go do something that's not damaging to our civic life, to our international allegiances, to our sense of self-confidence in this country that we can speak with a unified voice that is not divisive and mean and harsh. And that's the argument. It's time for something better. I know, and I'm all for supporting presidential terms that last 4 years because that's what we've got right now. Now, personally, I think a presidential term should last for 5 years and no reelection. I just think that would be a better way to go, and I'd be willing to negotiate that down to 4 years with no reelection because I think the notion of a president being reelected keeps them tied into their political party, and I think there should be one term, no reelection, and when you become the president, you rescind your membership in whatever political party you were part of previously so that you can full-heartedly support all the people of the United States and you no longer carry your partisan commitments that you once had. I think it would be a better way for us to go. But having said that, we've got four years of a presidential administration for Trump. Maybe not. Maybe it's time to say, you know, normally this thing lasts 4 years, but like when someone leases a car and they sign a 4-year lease and they just have to go into their the dealer and say, hey, you know what? Look, I'm willing to pay the fee to get out of this car early. turns out doesn't meet my needs. It's a lemon, and I know I can't return it, but I'm just willing to pay the fee to get out of my lease early. I think that's where the American public needs to get to on the Trump administration, and for Mike Pence to come rolling into Minnesota and try to stand in front of these veterans and say to them, "We're all for you." It's this kind of corruption, meanness, hypocrisy, and just ineffectual presidency and presidential administration that we have to do something about. So it's time for us in Minnesota to really take this seriously. You know, we were talking yesterday about how important it is to get out and vote at the local level. And the one thing that you do as a citizen in this country is all your votes are local. And I don't just mean your issues are local. I literally mean you have to vote locally, right? Like your place of registered voting is tied to your residency. Now, that's just an interesting question in and of itself, but we're not going to solve that, change that on this, you know, in this season of life. But you're going to vote locally. So know about your local situations and keep an eye on that national agenda because it really matters. And I can assure all the listeners, there are more people who are movable on these issues of corruption, of lack of confidence, and of just plain mean-spiritedness of the Trump administration than there has been about any administration we've ever had. So as you gear yourself up for your Labor Day parties, festivals, and outings, you know, ask people, hey, you ready for a change? Let's do a quick reset on this Trump administration and get started with electing a whole new Congress. This is Doug Padgett, AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Hunter and I will be back here after the break.
I'm John Peterson, and at Ferndale Market, we are proud to provide our free-range turkey to local restaurants and natural food stores. One of our partners since the beginning has been Birchwood Cafe, and we're excited to announce a new partnership product, the Birchwood Turkey Burger Patty. Made from their popular turkey burger recipe, using our antibiotic-free turkey and Birchwood's local and organic ingredients. Put an end to bland turkey burgers. Find this and all our Ferndale turkey products at your local co-op or natural food store. Visit ferndalemarket.com.
Hi, Minnesota. Norman Goldman here. Join me every weekday from 5 to 8 p.m. for some clarity, wit, and wisdom on the latest issues of the day here on AM 950. Today on the show, it looks like he's getting bolder, waging war on more specific people and warming up to try to shut down the Mueller investigation. You know who we're talking about. Join me for 3 live hours of the Norman Goldman Show every weeknight here from 5 to 8 on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chamblaut from Chamblaut Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office.
And I'm Rachel Chamblaut. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the dentist? You don't need to be afraid of my dad. He makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun.
We don't care if you're a dental regular or haven't seen a dentist in years. We just want to make you comfortable and get you out of pain.
If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Enjoy a delicious home-cooked breakfast or lunch away from the kitchen at Milda's Cafe, now open 7 days a week. Milda's Cafe has been cooking up family favorites since 1964. Grab a coffee and sit down for a delicious Philly scramble, house-made rolls, or Denver omelet. Stop in for lunch where you'll find authentic Finnish pasties every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Open weekdays 6 to 3, weekends 8 to 2. Milda's Cafe on Glenwood Avenue, 4 blocks east of Penn.
Are you looking for the smarter way to buy and sell homes? Check out HouseGeeks.com. The HouseGeeks with Bricks Real Estate have the experience, tools, and technology to get you the best value. At HouseGeeks.com, you will be able to download their free home search app, easily set up appointments, or request your free home and neighborhood market assessment. Remember, the HouseGeeks, the smarter way to buy and sell homes.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their 2 convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Thank you.
Hey, nice bumper music pick there, Hunter. It's a great one. I play these, ask Hunter and Brett to play these Bruce Springsteen bumper music because it thrills my heart. There's a passion, commitment to the comic book. Hey, Hunter, I want to do a little shout out here to a local do-gooder, somebody who, due to her job and her work and personal commitment, is doing good for the state of Minnesota today.
Yeah.
Now, Emily Piper. Now, I don't know Emily Piper, but Emily Piper is the Human Services Commissioner for the state of Minnesota. And Emily Piper fought the Trump administration in a lawsuit because the Trump administration, as many of us might remember, pulled more than $85 million in funding from the state of Minnesota's Minnesota Care program. This insurance that's made available to people who make too much money to be on Medicaid, but not enough money to be able to pay for the high costs of premiums. It's all part of the Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. And of course, when the Trump administration came around and wanted to just break everything, like a Tasmanian devil running through the society that so many of us worked so hard to build and sort of gobbling it up and tearing it apart, they went right after the ACH, of course. But Emily, because of her good work as the Human Services Commissioner, Commissioner Piper, said today that last fall, she writes in this quote, without analysis or justification, the federal government cut funding for Minnesota Care, she went on to say. And I'm pleased today that they acknowledge that Minnesota is entitled to the return of some of that funding. And so Emily went out and fought as the commissioner and made it happen. And officials with the Federal Department of Health and Human Services, well, they were too busy to be reached about this. See, what happened, this all got into a lawsuit because the state of Minnesota and the state of New York sued the Trump administration and said, you can't just come in and take federal funding that our programs are built around, that, by the way, the state of Minnesota and residents in the state of Minnesota pay to the federal government. So it's actually the money that belongs to the people of the state of Minnesota. And we've agreed through the Affordable Care Act that we were going to support this kind of distribution to the states. And when the Trump administration took it away, they fought hard to get it back. So Commissioner Piper did her work and has gotten this back. And it's a huge amount. Hunter, more than 89,000 Minnesotans receive support for their health care on what's called the basic health care plan that subsidizes people who are with low income but too much for Medicaid, right? And Minnesota's been a leader in this. And New York joined in with Minnesota because we've been figuring this out for three decades, how to help make sure people have it. And then the Trump administration just comes flying in without knowing what they're doing and just out of some ideological battle removes all of this funding, and it's been returned, at least for 2018. Still tied up in a lawsuit because the Trump administration, if these people know how to do anything, if Donald Trump can do anything, the guy can cause a lawsuit. I mean, it's really great. And that's why in Minnesota, it matters who our governor is. It matters who our commissioners are. It matters who our representatives are, because these are people fighting for it. Had we had a Republican governor, it's very likely that a health commissioner would have said, well, we go along with that at the federal level. Who knows if they would have done this or not, but you couldn't be promised that they wouldn't. So this is the kind of thing that shows up in our local experiences. So anybody who receives any kind of subsidy for their health insurance, anybody who's benefited by Minnesota Care, and I'll tell you, there's a lot of people who are on Minnesota Care. It's awfully important more than 100,000 people are on that, and many of them were affected when this money was pulled away. So it's crucially important.
Yeah, that's a fabulous story. It's great to hear someone step up when opportunity arises. Like she took the initiative and made that happen.
Yeah, she's fighting back. Right? There's these people that are doing something about it. Now, not everybody every day can do something about everything. All of us can do something on November 6th, right? That's the day we can all show up and do something about it. But Commissioner Emily Piper, is out there fighting for it. And then she's having a press conference. There's a great little article. This is where I got this in the local section of the Star Tribune newspaper, and they do the story. In fact, Hunter, we ought to see if tomorrow or one of these days we could have her on the show.
Yeah, and, that'd be great.
Interview. Would you try that? Maybe reach out to her and see if she'd be on to talk about it? Because, you know, we got to start lining up all of these local heroes who, whether it's by their job or not, they still are working hard. You know, when you get into a lawsuit with the federal government, even though you represent a state, that's a big deal. And that takes your heart. It takes your energy. It takes your creativity. I mean, these are people that are really doing something about it. I know it's easy to think that, you know, money that we spend in our taxes is kind of wasted or goes away, especially if it comes, if it's money we pay to the state of Minnesota or into the federal system. But it's not wasted. There are people who know how important it is and how it works and where it goes. And the Affordable Care Act is not perfect by far. I mean, I certainly wanted something far more dramatic out of the Obama administration. So I'm not someone here to cheer on and say the Affordable Care Act goes nearly far enough. I think we need to have universalized health care and a whole lot of other things in our society to make it possible for someone to receive the kind of health care that they need so that the cost of health care is not nearly as damaging as it is. But when the state is depending on money and they've built their financial program around the 2010 Affordable Care Act, and then the Trump administration comes in and by executive order, just cuts the funding, the state of Minnesota and people like the health commissioner, health or human services commissioner, have to start working immediately to say, There's 90 to 100,000 people who are going to be negatively affected by this, and we're not going to let it happen. So this is why the person you elect, they appoint people to other roles, and the work that they do becomes important. It's real issues that lay into our political world. And I'll tell you, I know a lot of people. I've benefited from Minnesota Care myself. It's awfully important part of having an Affordable Care Act or affordable health care for people in the state of Minnesota. And so to you, Commissioner Emily Piper, you get a write on from this radio show, because this is the kind of thing that we need all kinds of people doing. And if you ever, listeners, hear a story, find a story about someone doing their job well, going above and beyond, I'd love to give a call out to those people and tell them that we appreciate the good work that they're doing. And we don't often thank the people who work in our public service sectors nearly enough anyway. And I think it's anytime we can take a moment and tell someone who's doing that kind of good, hard work that we appreciate them. And we say to each other that it's important for that work be done. And in this case, that people who've been worrying about if they're going to be able to pay for their health care bills can rest a little easier tonight, because some people worked really hard for that. And there's a time to stand up to the decisions that aren't working for everybody. And this is one of those times. We live in an incredible time. People, we got to stay vigilant on every level. And we'll stay vigilant here right after the break on AM 950, Progressive Voices.
Be sure to pick up your copy of this month's Natural Awakenings magazine, a free local guide to a healthier and more balanced life. Each monthly issue includes timely, local, national, and global stories. Learn about alternative and complementary medicine, nutrition, fitness for body and mind, personal growth, sustainability, and much more. Natural Awakenings can be found at area health food stores, food co-ops, and retail locations. More information is available at naturaltwincities.com. That's naturaltwincities.com.
Robert Barill here, host of the show Laughing Matters, brought to you as always by Stand Up Records. Check them out online at standuprecords.com. Laughing Matters is now on Saturdays from 7 to 8 p.m., and the show will be pre-taped, which means that I can swear and say words like f*** and f***. As always, it'll feature some of the funniest comedians in the Twin Cities talking about the latest news and current events, and it's an hour of nonstop laughs you won't want to miss. And it's only on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
The State Fair has always been full of treats. From corn dogs to cheese curds to anything on a stick, now you can add a new furnace and air conditioner to that list. Announcing Standard Heating and Air Conditioning State Fair Sale. Get a new air conditioner for just $2,500 when you install a new high-efficiency furnace by September 3rd. Discover more about how you can take advantage of Standard State Fair sale at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, comfort you deserve.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
Hi, this is Laura Hedlund with Food Freedom Radio. We want a regenerative revolution. What's that? It's a food system that works for water, soil, pollinators, and people. How do we get it? Maybe by being a little more lazy. So this summer, we're looking for lazy good food recipes. We're talking about how do we create a sane, kind food system. Food Freedom Radio, Saturdays at 8 a.m. or anytime on podcast. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. With summertime here, my family is super excited about the road trips we'll be taking in our Toyota Sienna. We're going to be putting a lot of miles in, but a Sienna is the most comfortable way to drive. Plenty of room for the five of us to stretch out and enjoy the ride, even with the dog and all of our gear tagging along. Safety and reliability are key, and Rudy Luther Toyota Siennas are the most safe, most reliable vehicles we've ever driven. Test drive one yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Haas. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms will low around 65. Friday, chance of showers, high near 79, and Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 81.
This week's EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week is the Downtowner Wood Fire Grill. The Downtowner is the perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. The menu is considered American bistro with a Persian touch, located on 253 West 7th Street in St. Paul. Find out more at DowntownerWoodFire.com.
Hey, Hunter, we're not only in the end of summer in the state of Minnesota, at least I know not the like official like seasons calendar, but to the lived experience, because school started for a lot of people last Monday, for other schools starting on Tuesday. You know, we're kind of kicking back in. The great Minnesota get-together is unfolding. And you had mentioned last week when I said, are you going to the fair? You said, yeah, you're working at it. Can you have a little update for us on how things went out at the fair? Have you already done your big gig?
Yeah, so I was with I'm Awake on Saturday, and they did a live show at the International Bazaar, and it was really fun. I met a lot of listeners out there. Had to deal with some technical problems right before the show, but I got all that taken care of. It was just extremely stressful. But
of course you did, because you did go to a successful audio engineering school, as you've reminded us before.
Yes, I did do that.
You're not kidding around. Well, you pulled it off. You saved the fair. That was last Saturday, huh?
Yep. And then I'll be there this Sunday working the AFL-CIO booth. I'll be actually running sound at the AFL-CIO booth for the Stage Handlers Union. I'm in the IATSE Local 13, and so I do stage handing sometimes, like setting up concerts, and then audio things. So this is a audio job. So there'll be bands at the AFL-CIO booth. So if you guys want to check it out this weekend, it'll be all day Sunday, and I'll be there, so you can come say hi to me.
And often when people are listening to a band, you know, they'll want to yell out a song from the band. They'll yell out maybe the name of a performer. I think people should yell out Hunter Haas when they see you working there, you know, because the stagehands don't get enough. They don't get enough call out. I think it's time for people. Hey, did you feel the pressure last Saturday by any chance? Because there was a record set last Saturday for third day attendance, which is often a big day at the fair. 222,194 souls found their way into the Minnesota State Fairgrounds for that day. 222,000. That's a big day.
I did notice that it was very busy. I didn't think, though, that it was abnormally busy for a Saturday, so that's interesting.
Blew the doors off of the previous records. I don't know if kids still say blew the doors off anymore, but back in the 70s and 80s, as you said, 222,194 this Saturday. I mean, the fair's numbers are up huge, but a lot of that probably has to do with the work that you were doing out there at the fair. You may have drawn that. the Hunter spike. It popped it above by more than almost a 10% increase over the 1998 previous record, and compared to last year, and I don't know what happened last year, but last year's attendance at the fair was only 158,000, and this year it was 222,000 for that same day. So I'm not sure if maybe there was a big storm last year, or if there was a reason why people didn't go to the fair that year. But yeah, no, up huge numbers on Saturday.
Yeah, I didn't go last year, so that does explain it.
Well, there it is, and you weren't sharing your come see me. So maybe maybe you had 20,000 people at your event that you were running there, and that tipped them over the top.
No, but I guess it was busy. I did skip out on the more popular things because I did not want to deal with the lines. But yeah, until you told me this, I wouldn't have known that it was a historic day.
Yeah, well, when you're talking about 158,000 or 180,000, and then goes up to 222. While that's statistically a big number, and certainly that's spread out all across the fair, different times. You know, you can handle those sways, but it does say something that people are showing up at the fair this year. And I don't have any idea if that's a part of anything else. If there's something more going on that gets people out to the fairgrounds. I'm not going to make it to the fair myself. I don't know if there's been a particular draw, if they're doing things right out there at the fair, but it's a big day. It's a big deal.
Well, I recommend people go to the education building and visit the Minnesota Senate booth and the Minnesota State House booth. Cause, I was there on Saturday and they were not very busy. There's a couple people there with me, but, they hand out ballots that are exactly like the election ballots, and they're all issues that are likely to come up this legislative session to get a poll of just fairgoers, so an unscientific poll. They do it every year, but it's fun. I did those, and then me and Brett actually, I read them on Tuesday, and we answered them on air how we felt and talked about it, but.
That's
great. And then there's a ton of information they have there. I took home like everything. You can sign up for their mailing list and their actual mail list. So I recommend education building, House and Senate booths. They're right next to each other.
Well, maybe they need to dip that into chocolate and give out a chocolate dipped fair.
Senator on a stick.
On a stick. I think you're onto something. I think that'd be a great idea. We give out in the last segment there. I mentioned that I wanted to give out a write on to Commissioner Emily Piper for saving the day for insurance. And you sent me this nice little article where I want to offer up a cheerio to the people over at General Mills. See what I did there? Made a cheerio joke.
Clever.
Hey, apparently money's good in the Yoplait yogurt and Cheerio business, or the wise people who make decisions over at General Mills have decided to do the right thing, even if the coffers are not full, because they have announced that they are expanding their benefits to their employees. And that's the kind of attitude you want out of our big corporations, especially out of these big multinational corporations, especially out of these Minnesota homegrown corporations. You want them leading the way. And so the people at General Mills are expanding maternity leave for their employees to include 18 to 20 weeks of paid time off for their for people when they after they have a baby, and good for them, right? It's not just for the birth giving mother, that of course includes a person who gives birth herself, but also for fathers, for partners, adoptive parents, it's they're doing it across the board. They're taking care to say that parents should have leave. Now, as good as that is, and good for them, and it's the right thing to do, General Mills, you're just squeaking under the bar of earning yourself a Cheerio for this, because in some countries, you don't get 12 weeks or 18 weeks or 20 weeks. You get a full year. I mean, good grief. You go to Germany and they like give you a pay raise for babies being born. They want to really make sure they support families. They want to really make sure they support new people coming in. And so I don't know how well that works for a lot of people to be out of their job for a full year. Because to be honest, a lot of people like their work. And a lot of people don't want to have the punishment of having to stop working for a year. They don't want it to feel like a punishment to have to stop working for a year. Some people don't take as easily to being a parent as someone else. And, you know, 20 weeks away from work and all your friends and all the people you hang around with, that doesn't always feel like great news to a father or to a mother after they have a baby. But for the most part, people need more time and they need more flexibility after they have children. So I think this is the kind of thing that, you know, of course the right wingers are going to worry that we're starting to lean ourselves into some kind of socialism. But in this case, if it's coming from business, as those Republicans like to tell you, it's got to be the right thing, because you know, businesses always do the right thing. They really know job creators, job makers. They know about all the things, not just about running their business. You know, which is really the thing, Hunter, that gets me about this argument that job creators should be left alone because they know what to do and they would do the right thing. Businesses would do the right thing. I own businesses. I hire people to work with me. I create jobs for people. That doesn't mean I know anything about other impacts on someone's life. I'm depending as a job creator, as a boss, as someone who runs a business, I'm depending on the fact that there's an entire system that is in place that helps make sense out of all that. So the people at General Mills, they might know an awful lot about how to make sure they retain employees. That doesn't mean we should trust their decisions about taxes or about healthcare or about how clean the air should be. Our businesses should fit into the larger set of what it means to be in a culture and a society. Hey, Randy, up there in St. Cloud, you've got a little thought about the creators and branders of the Cheerios at General Mills.
Yeah. Part of that deal of Germany is I'm getting a year. 40%.
Hey, Hunter, I don't hear Randy. I don't know if other people do, but.
Of the board.
Got you now, Randy. Go ahead.
Of the board has to be employees.
I'm sorry, Randy. Say it again. I missed the first part of your sentence. Would you tell me that again? Maybe everybody else heard it, but I missed it.
Oh, okay. What I was saying is that in Germany, the corporations have 40% of their employees are on the board. So that's who's making, so that they don't just vote to give giant pay raises to the top guys, and they don't, the rigged part of our economy. And General Mills is definitely doing it to retain good employees, because that's getting harder and harder. But if we would put – that's part of what Elizabeth Warren's saving capitalism thing is about, is putting employees on the board of directors so that that's considered when they make policy for their company.
Well, I didn't know that about Germany, that that was part of the way that they structured their businesses, is that if I'm hearing you right, you're saying that if they have employees in the business and they're organized with a board that's going to operate it, that 40% of those have to be representatives of employees. What an interesting way to make sure that employees' needs and desires are cared for.
Parts of Spain and Portugal do the same thing.
Wow. Well, if we're going to get any of that through the Trump administration, I guess I just have to ask you, what about Russia? How are they doing it over there in Russia? Do you know? Because how are they doing that over there in North Korea? Is those are the countries that seem to have the sway. What's going on in Germany, where the president won't greet the German chancellor, what's going on in Canada, where he won't have a decent conversation. That's not what we think is important anymore from a federal administrative question. So we may have to check with some of the other actors in the drama that is geopolitical issues. But I'm just having some fun with you there, Randy. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate that thought. That's intriguing. And, you know, I think anytime you're running a business, you have a lot of people to think about. You have your customers, you have your employees, you have yourself, you have your shareholders. There's a lot to go on, and it's not always easy. And we have to push ourselves, we have to push one another. And I think there's a lot of things we can do in our society to help our businesses function well. So to the degree that you did that over there at General Mills, good for you. We'll be back here after the break on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Minnesota has a lot going on this summer, and I don't want to miss a moment of it. However, my carpets remind me of the good times later. That's why I call Zero Res. I'm not willing to waste a beautiful summer weekend washing rugs, so don't worry, because the carpet cleaning heroes at Zero Res can help. So schedule your cleaning today by calling 952-ZERO-RES, or you can book online at ZeroResMinnesota.com. Don't forget to ask for the special AM 950 listener pricing. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward. It spells the same.
Victor's 1959 Cafe in South Minneapolis is a locally owned and operated restaurant offering traditional Cuban food. Open for breakfast and lunch daily with dinner Tuesday through Saturday. For night shift workers, Victor's even has both a morning and evening happy hour, and Victor's now accepts dinner reservations too. Stop in and try some delicious, authentic Cuban cuisine like ropa vieja and seafood paella. Make your reservation and learn more at Victor's1959Cafe.com. Victor's 1959 Cafe, revolutionary Cuban cooking.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio. News flash about my show. It's now an hour long, running from 7 to 8 a.m. every Monday. The longer time slot will allow for interviews of idealists doing important work in the world. Ellie 2.0 Radio. Listen every Monday from 7 to 8 a.m. My show. It's engaging and real, and it's on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Another store closing? Well, we're here for you. Kohl's, with the best brands like Nike, Under Armour, Levi's, Adidas, Carter's, Hanes, and so many more. For your family and for your home. And the best savings. With incredible sales, Kohl's Cash, and Yes to You Rewards, Kohl's is the best place to shop. Shop anytime online or go to kohls.com/stores to find a store near you. Kohl's, we're here for you.
Hi, this is Paul Metza, inviting you to listen to the Wall of Power Radio Hour every weekend on AM 950. We are now in our third year of broadcasting on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. MinPost has called us one of the 22 most independently entertaining and cool radio shows in the Twin Cities. We feature cool people from all walks of life and from all 50 states every Saturday at 6 p.m., replayed Sunday at 4 p.m. on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Back AM 950, your progressive voice here in Minnesota. Hey, Hunter, we were chatting there about the good things going on over at the hiring and time off policy at General Mills. You know, you got to get the wins, got to get the win where you can. You got a little bit of good news though about somebody over there at General Mills yourself.
Well, yeah, my good friend Donzel Leggett, he's running for state house in my district, 47B in Chaska. And Donzel's the vice president of General Mills. So I'm sure
during his campaign and all this, I'm sure he had a hand in fighting for those benefits. And it's great to see that in his, like, his big business background, that it aligns with all the things he's fighting for in his campaign for living wages and having benefits and health care for everyone. So it's nice to see a victory like that for his company during his campaign right now.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I'd love to chat with him on here, as the election gets close, because I think, as you say, people with that kind of experience and that kind of pressure and that kind of responsibility that's really interesting. I'm always intrigued by people who run for office and why they do. It was interesting. We were talking to somebody the other day here on the show, and they were saying that one of the reasons that Keith Ellison stopped, gave up a seat as a congressman is because basically being a congressperson is a terrible, thankless job, right?
Yeah.
It was an interesting argument. Like, well, nobody actually wants to be a congressman because there's and I wonder about that at the state house too. And having he's running for state senate.
State house.
Okay, yeah, I had run for state house too. And honestly, people around my life were saying to me, this is back in 2010, like, what are you doing that for? Like, it's a part time job with just a lot of responsibility. Why would you want to do that? And I think that, and this would be great to talk to Donzo about, because for a lot of us, we think that being a congressperson or a representative at the state level, that it comes with all this power and that people want to keep it. They want to get those jobs. They want to keep those jobs because they're just full of so much benefit to them. But when you talk to people who have those jobs or have had them in the past, they'll often say, you know, that they did it because they wanted to serve in some way, because they wanted to contribute, not so much. You know, they're not going to complain about the role that they have because they obviously asked people to support them in being in that job. But it's a bit of a thankless job, frankly. There's not that much power. You know, this is the thing that I don't understand, especially like at the federal level, when people will say, the reason these Congress people say what they say or vote the way they do or support this or that is because all they're trying to do is hold on to their power. And most congressmen and women would have so much more money and reward in their life as a former congressperson.
Yeah.
Than they ever would being a congressperson and having to live under the scrutiny and to do the hard work. So there's something else that motivates people. There's something else going on. And that's what I think is worth asking every politician. What is it that's in you or want to be politician? What is it that's driving you? Like, why do you want to be in this role? Because if you're outside of it, it's easy to just think, well, you're kind of a big deal if you're a state representative or you're a state senator or a federal representative, a federal senator. But I'm not sure that it's as easily answered as that. So do you have a sense with Donzel being your friend?
We'll get him on here soon. And he'll be able to answer. But I do know that for this race, the Democrat that ran last time decided not to run. And she asked him personally to run for her, like, for her spot. And he's like, well, I guess I have to do this because this is exactly what I've been talking about all the time and encouraging other people to do. And now it's put right on my lap. I've got to do this.
Yeah.
A funny observation about what you were talking about, actually being a congressperson and it not being as glamorous as we all think. I was thinking about, so I make calls for the DFL as a part-time job, like fundraising or getting out the vote. And I was like, you know what's ironic is that, let's say I made it to the very top and I became the senator from Minnesota.
I'm with you, Hunter.
I'd be doing the exact same job that you begin with, because all you're doing as a senator is fundraising most of the time.
So you're sitting there in the phone bank and you're like, wow, this is really thankless, hard work, calling around on the phone and asking people to contribute financially to make this work. And if I were to ever become the very person that I'm recruiting the support for,
I'd be doing the same thing.
You're like the person that bought the McDonald's franchise after having worked there running the French fry machine, and then realizes I'm back here running the French fry machine again.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Become boss and do the exact same thing.
I think that's a great storyline. That's a great way to tell it. So that's what intrigues me about people. And look, if I can say anything positive about the Trump administration, I would, but I can't. So I'll just say something sort of interesting about them, and that is in their role in the people that he's put into his cabinet positions. By and large, way more than any other administration, it's a bunch of millionaires and billionaires. And I'm really intrigued by those people, or people with high visibility, you know, Perry and the former neurosurgeon doctor and the, you know, Betsy DeVos from Michigan, these people. And I've often wondered, like, what on earth are they doing taking a job where they have to run a bureaucratic administration? Like, the amount of influence that someone can have versus the amount of just work and effort just seems so confusing. What is it that makes these people who don't need the money, they don't need the power, why are they in these roles? So this is where Donzel, that you're talking about, that's really interesting to me. I think that's an interesting question for us to ask of all of our politicians, and they'll always give you the straight square answer that comes from the campaign, of course. Well, because I care about these issues. But if you can ever get under it and say, yeah, but what's really, like, why do you want to influence these issues from this particular position? What is it that's driving you as it is? I think it would be helpful for every politician to be honest with us about this and to tell us about it, because it would really help all of us to get behind the scene a little bit and know what it is that drives someone. And it's really a good question for all of us, whatever it is you spend your time doing, to ask yourself, why is it that you're doing that? But running for office is even more particular, because you're, you know, breaking the norm and saying to someone, hey, vote for me. Like, you're not just seeking the job yourself. You're trying to enlist thousands of other people to agree with you that you should be in that role. So whatever your role is, today or tomorrow, we're glad you listened here to this show, and glad you're part of the station and the community that we're forming here at AM 950. And enjoy the beginning of summer, or the beginning of the end of summer, on the beginning of the weekend that ends the summer. Labor Day weekend. We'll talk with you from the road tomorrow, driving from California back to Minnesota. AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I'm Doug Padgett. Talk to you tomorrow.